Tonight I'm going to share some things with you regarding reality. I'm not telling you about things that are going to happen one day, but I want to share with you the things that God is bringing to pass today. I believe we've done enough talking about the message, whatever that message may mean to you, but we've talked about it enough. It's time we start to put shoe leather on that message and we began to walk it out in our experience. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 63. I want you to open your heart tonight, not just to hear my word, but to hear what Father is saying to you, because that's the important thing. And whatever Father says to you, you need to do it. For Jesus said, if you hear my word but you don't do it, he said, you're a foolish man and you're building your house on the sand. You need to hear the word and to do it. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. In all their affliction, this is speaking of Israel, in all their affliction he was afflicted, that was the Christ, and the angel of his presence saved them. Let me read it again. In all their affliction, the Christ that dwelled in Israel was afflicted. Do you realize that the Christ is involved in your life? And that every experience that you go through, he's going through it with you. He is not separate from you. He doesn't leave you when you get sick. Says, I'll come back when you're well again. No, he is afflicted with all the afflictions with which you've been afflicted. But it says, and the angel of his presence, that's the reality, saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Chapter 66 and verse 8. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. As soon as she travailed. Well, we haven't travailed yet, for we've not brought forth the children that God requires us to bring forth. For after all, when Adam was created in the beginning, God said to him, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Have you done that yet? Uh-huh. What does it mean? Does it mean to get married and have a bunch of children and so we fill the earth? I don't think so. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? I don't think so. We are going to bring forth, and God is going to do what he promised he would do. I want you to turn back to Isaiah chapter 7. And Ahaz was the king of Israel, and he was having a problem because there were many enemies of Israel at that time. And so as these enemies were surrounding them and causing a lot of problems, the Lord spoke to Ahaz and said to him, this is in verse 11, ask of me a sign. A sign. I mean, after all, do you need a sign in your life? A sign that God is with you? Do you need a sign that says, God really does love me? That God, you're involved in my life? That God, you have a plan for my life that you've not yet fulfilled? God, is there something that you still require to do in me? Do you have any sign in your life that says that God is active there and that he is activating his own will and purpose in you? because you need a sign. Ahaz, ask a sign of me. Ask it either in the depths or ask it in the height above. I don't care, the Lord said, what kind of sign you ask from me. You can ask a sign of me that will be an earthly sign if you want. Remember Gideon put out the fleece and said to the Lord, I need a sign to know that you're really with me. Now if you make the dew fall tonight, but you don't let it fall on the fleece, I'll know. Then God did that. And then of course Gideon said, well now Lord, you know, listen, I've got to really be sure of this. Now tonight if you make the dew fall on the fleece, but not on the surrounding ground, I'll believe you. Well, we need a sign. Have you ever asked the Lord for a sign in your life? A sign that you would know for sure that God is active in you. So Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord my God. And so the prophet Isaiah said, hear ye now, house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? I mean, come on, God's getting a little tired of this. We want some activity. God says, I've got a whole lot of things I need to be doing and I want to do on the earth. But see, everything that God is doing is going to be done through a people. And you are that people. There is no God up in the sky that's going to wave a magic wand and all men are going to suddenly bow the knee to Jesus Christ. There is no God doing that kind of stuff. If that's going to happen in this earth, if you believe in the restitution of all things, then you have to understand that you're a part of that plan. You're a part of that plan. And if we are not functioning according to God's plan, it is not going to happen. Well, Mordecai said to Esther, you remember, he said to her, listen, your people are at stake here, their lives are at stake. All of creation is at stake today in your life. All of creation. For God is going to restore all of creation. They are groaning, they are waiting, all of creation, for the manifestation of the sons of God. How long are you going to keep them waiting? How long are we going to keep them waiting? How long will it be before there will be on this earth a manifestation of the sons of God? Oh, there's a lot of people running around saying, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. Well, it's in the Bible, see? That John the Apostle said in chapter 3 of his first epistle, now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah. We're the sons of God. Well, I tell you, all of creation is waiting to see those sons become manifest. They're all waiting. Everybody's waiting. The millions in the world today of the nations of the earth are waiting for that manifestation. And you are the people. So it says here, therefore, the Lord will give you a sign. And I'm telling you tonight, God is going to give you a sign. And this sign is going to be in your own life. This is going to become something that it will be an activity within you. And this sign will be the sign to your generation, to this generation of people, that there is on the earth a people that are the true sons of God. Can you hear this? This is the truth. This is the day of the manifestation. We've talked about it. Oh God, somewhere, someday, in the sweet by and by, you're going to make us manifest sons. I want to tell you, God never intended to bring forth sons who are not manifested. There's no other kind of sons. I mean, what do you think God's done? That he's got a family out there and said, now you just all be quiet, because I'm just going to lift you off the earth one day. Maybe one night, when nobody's looking, I'll just take you all away. Bless the Lord. I don't think so. God said, I'm going to show you a sign. What is the sign? The sign is that a virgin shall conceive. Yeah. Can you hear this? Yeah. This is to you. This is not to Israel. This is not to some people living 2,000 years ago. This is to you in the year 2002. A son or a virgin shall conceive. This is God's sign for your life. Can you hear this? So it says, a virgin shall conceive. Well, the first thing I want to tell you is you are all virgins. Every one of you are virgins tonight. I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. Why? Because you have a soul. And the soul is the womb of man. But also the soul is the womb of creation. That's what's in you today, the womb of creation. And God says to you, I'm giving you a sign, a virgin will conceive. Well, you say, but I thought that I had already conceived. I thought that Christ was dwelling in me. Well, of course, you've been told that, haven't you? Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ is in you. You know that, don't you? Yeah, and you nod your head. Christ is in you. But I want to ask you a question. Did that change your life? I don't think so. You can know that Christ is in you and still not be a manifested Son of God. Can you hear this? Because it's intellectual. And you know it in your head, but you've not yet walked this thing out. For if you're a Son of God, your life will be totally different to the life you live today. It will be a totally different life. For a manifested Son of God is something very special. See, many people say to me, but I'm a Son of God, but you know I've got a problem. I said, what's your problem? Well, you see, I've got diabetes. I said, what? You're a Son of God and you've got diabetes? That's a contradiction. How can you be a Son of God and you've got diabetes? Come on. You say, I'm a Son of God, but I get depressed. How can you be a Son of God and be depressed? You see, how can you be a Son of God and you can be sick? How is that possible? It is impossible. You may believe you're a Son of God up in here, but you are not yet experiencing what a Son of God is. And if you don't know and experience what a Son of God is, you'll never be manifested. Because God is not manifesting some idea that's in your mind. I mean, when God said, let us make man, he could have just walked away and said, wasn't that a great idea? Well, where would we have been then? Well, we wouldn't have been here. A virgin shall conceive. You see, you're a virgin tonight. You're all a virgin. Why? I'll tell you why. Because you have not yet birthed in that womb of creation what God has required you to birth. You've not birthed it yet. There's nothing being birthed there that has anything to do with God. But you have used your soul and you have brought to the birth. What have you brought to the birth? Well, as you grew up from a child, you began to work out somehow by looking at your mother and father and your uncles and aunties and your grandpa and grandma and all of the rest and your school teachers and everybody else. You worked out who you believed you were. And you birthed that person. Every one of you did that. You've all birthed the person that you believe yourself to be. I birthed that man. My father was a very nervous person. My father had a very poor opinion of himself, a picture of his own reality. And I grew up with the same kind of idea. I would never be anything. I'm just a very ordinary person, God, you know. I'm nothing at all, really. My teacher in high school, I met him about 5 years after I left high school. And I said, Mr. Smith, do you remember me? And he looked at me and said, what's your name? I said, Des Walter. And he said, no. Nope. He said, you weren't one of the good ones, and you weren't one of the bad ones. I said, no, I just kind of drifted through, you know. See, that's what, I birthed that person. I want to tell you, everywhere I went, I would dig a hole. And I would stand in that hole, and I would look out at the world from there up. I had the worm's eye view of everything. I had to watch for the birds every day. And I birthed that person. And for 40 years, I lived and expressed what that person was. That was Des Wilder. I became an evangelist. My wife and I went out as missionaries. For 5 years, we were out there. Then I resigned because I didn't have the answers to the problems that I saw out there. Then I became a pastor, and I pastored a number of churches. Out of this person that I birthed, this Des Wilder, that had no reality in God at all. God didn't even know this guy, because God never created a mortal human being. Are you hearing this? God never created a mortal human being. God never created a flesh and blood man. But see, I had formed this man. I birthed this man. I lived out of that man. I expressed what that man was for 40 years before I understood that I was just playing games. But that man that I birthed had no reality in God at all. And neither does the reality that you birthed. It has no reality in God. You say, but brother, you know, I asked Jesus Christ into my heart. And you know, I repented of my sin. I believed he died for me on the cross. You know, I was baptized in water. And I was even baptized in the Spirit. I speak in tongues. I want to tell you, if you're still living out of that identity, God doesn't even know you. Are you hearing this? See, I'm interested in reality. I'm not talking about religion. Religion has filled the earth with sanctimonious people that have no power to change anything. And I was one of those for long enough. See, I've been on both sides of the fence here. I've been the kind of people that I meet very often. I've been that man for 40 years. I know what it's like. I know what Des Wilder could do. I could tell you. There was like a black line I could put around my life. See, I could do anything inside the square, but I couldn't do anything outside the square. But see, when I was a pastor, I had to pray for a lot of people. And you know, you had to fake it till you make it. Well, they told me to do that. You blab it and grab it. All this kind of stuff. Because, you see, you've got to make some kind of an impression on people. I used to stand up in the pulpit. I don't stand up there anymore. Because, see, now I know who I am. And it doesn't depend upon me being up in the pulpit. And, see, I don't have any degrees or anything now. I don't have any piece of paper on the wall that says this is a preacher, you know, and he's got a license now to preach. See, God gave me a license. So a virgin shall conceive. And if you have not conceived that which God requires, then you're still a virgin. And you've not fulfilled the command of God that was given to man in the beginning. I want you to turn over to the Epistle of James, chapter 1, and verse 18. And it says here, of his own will begat he us. This is speaking about God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. See, he begat us with the word of truth. That's why Jesus Christ could stand up and say, I am the truth. What did he mean? He didn't say, come to me and I'll tell you the truth. He said, I am the truth. Why? Because he was what he was created to be in the beginning. That was Emmanuel, God dwelling in mankind, dwelling in us. For when Peter looked into the eyes of Jesus, what did he see? He said, thou art the Christ. But he was looking at a man with a head and a body and two arms and two legs. That's what he was looking at. But he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew who he was. Jesus Christ knew who he was at the age of 12 in the temple. Here he is, his mom and dad, and lost him there on the way home. And they come back and say, son, you've caused us a headache, you know. You should have been with us. What did he say? He said, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? 12 years of age, he knew what his father's business was. At 40 years of age, I didn't even know what my father's business was. See? Because, you see, I never understood who I really was. But of his own will, God did not have to chase around to find somebody in order to reproduce. For God is male and female. He produced out of himself. You came out of God. You are the same substance that God is. That's who you are. You all came out of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul says, you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God foreordained for you to walk in. So, he says here, of his own will begat he us, that we should be a kind of first fruits of the God kind. Why did he bring us forth? Why did he speak us into existence? Because when God spoke that word that he spoke manifested itself as man. When God speaks a word, that word becomes what God has said. And when he spoke you forth, it was with the word of truth. That is, that he expected that you would express who you are in reality. Not what you thought you were, not what your neighbors and friends say you are, not what your parents think about you, but who God said you are. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and you are that Word. You are that Word that God spoke in the beginning. You hear this? And because you are that Word, God expects that we will begin to function as he created us to be. You're the same substance as God. He said that we should be a kind of first fruits of the God kind of people. Not physical people, not flesh and blood people, not mortal people, but the God kind of people. That's what he said. That he created you to be the God kind of people. Think about it. We were never created to be mortal human beings. We were never created just to say, well, I was born and I'm going to die. That I came from the dust and I'm going to go back to the dust. God created you so that you might be an expression of the word that he spoke in the beginning. Let us make man. And that was to be in the likeness and image of God. To be able to stand in this world and say, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Beloved, we're a long way from that, aren't we? We're a long way from that. And I'm not preaching at you today. I'm sharing out of my own life experience. I'm sharing out of the reality of what I am today. And I know that God has challenged me. What I'm preaching to you is not some sermon that I've heard on a tape or I've read in a book or something somebody's told me. This is my life. And I know that way back then, when I was 40 years old, God began to speak into my heart, into my spirit, and changes began to take place. And I became a new creation. And today, I understand that I'm no longer a living soul. But you know what I am? I am now a life-giving spirit. I've proved that. I've proved it so many times that I can transmit that life of God to other people. See, you have to have the sign in you. The sign has to be in you. What is the sign? A virgin shall conceive. So he says here, we should be a kind of first fruits of the God kind of people. The law of first fruits you need to understand. See, in Israel's history, when they grew their crops, if they had a crop of wheat or barley, before the harvest was ready, they would look out on the field and there would be certain stalks there that were already mature. And the grain was already mature in the head. And so God said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to pick those stalks. There's only a few of them. Pick those stalks and bring them into the temple and wave them before me. And what did that indicate? That indicated that whatever the first fruits were, that's what the whole harvest would be. So the first fruits, that mature grain, was waved before the Lord. Beloved, you are the first fruits company of people on the earth today. Can you hear this? You are the first fruits company. God is not trying to save the world today. He's not trying to save the world. He's calling out a people under his name. And that people are the first fruits company. We are those that have supposedly matured to the point where God says, now, I'm looking at the first fruits company. I can see the maturity that I have, that's now been wrought within my people. And now I can say to the world, you see, that whole harvest out there is going to be just like you. Oh. Oh God. Do I want the whole harvest to be just like me? I don't think so. God, put me back on the stalk for a little longer. I need to be a little more matured because I don't want the world out there to all be harvested to become just like me. This is the challenge to you tonight. A virgin shall conceive. Let's go back to Isaiah. For this is the Lord speaking to you tonight. I don't want you to think I'm talking to the person next to you. I don't want you to think that God is speaking to somebody else. I want you to know he's talking to you tonight. Listen, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. You'll bear a son. One day Abraham said to God, God, you know, I've got a problem here. You know, you've given me so many blessings. You've told me that my name would be great. You've told me that I would be the father of many nations. You've told me that you're going to give me a land that would belong to me. You've told me, you've given me all this stuff, but I don't have an heir. There's nobody that I can leave it to. So God, you know, if I come to die, what's going to happen? All this stuff's going to die with me. And he said, now listen, Lord, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to help you out here. I'm going to make my slave or my servant to be my heir. God said, no, you're not. Come on outside here. So he took him outside the tent. He said, Abram, look up there in the skies. You see those stars up there? He said, I want you to count them. He said, I can't, Lord, there's too many. He said, so shall your seed be. Tonight, I want you to look up and see the stars. I want you to look up and see the stars and know that God was speaking to you when he said that. He said, I want you to look at the stars, and so shall thy seed be. But you're still virgins. You're still virgins. You're not brought forth yet. That's our problem. We're waiting for all men to be saved. We're waiting for everybody to come to Christ. We're waiting for every knee to bow. We're waiting for every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But we're still virgins. We have not brought forth yet that which is to fill the earth. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us? God with us? Just think how different your life would be if God was with you. If God was with you every day, when you got up this morning, God got out of bed and said, good morning. You said, who's that? Oh, Lord. Oh, yes, yes, thank you. Yes, and good morning to you too. But see, he dwells in you. He's in you. See? Just think how different your life would be if every moment of the day you recognized, hey, God is with me. God is in me. Just think how different your life would be. Instead of fretting and fuming and fussing over when things go wrong and, you know, everything seems to be out of kilter and the kids are crying, the milk's boiled over on the stove and everything's gone wrong. and you got yourself into a tizz, and if you could just realize, God, you're with me. That's Emmanuel. That's Emmanuel. God with us. But not God with us. Lord, let me hold your hand. I want to walk down the road with you. You know, like that lovely poem, you know, about walking on the sand of the seashore. And then you suddenly, he says, and I saw a place where there was only one set of footprints instead of two. What happened? God, did you leave me? Oh, no, he said, he just picked me up, put me on his shoulders. Well, that's a lovely little poem, but I want to tell you something. Christ is in you. Christ is in you. He's in you. But see, at the moment, that knowledge is simply academic for most people. You believe it because there's a verse here that says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. But see, this has got to become the sign to your generation. This is God's sign to this generation of people, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And that son will be Emmanuel. Chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born. This is verse 6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. You notice the difference. The child is born, but the son is given. Let me say it again. The child is born, but the son is given. The son is not born. Why? Because no son of God has ever been born. No son of God has ever been born. The sons of God were created in the beginning. We came out of God. Listen, I mean, you know, I'm a simple man. So I look at my friend here and I say, see, you could never be my son. It wouldn't matter what we did. You could never be my son. I mean, I could say, listen, I love you. I'd like to take you under my wing. I'd like to treat you like a son. I'd like to be like a father to you. Yeah, I could do all of that. But he could never be my son. Why? Because he's never been born into my family. Well, what do? Well, we want to become a son of God. So what does the religious world tell us? I'll tell you what to do. You want to be a son of God? You kneel down here and you repent of your sin. And you tell God you're sorry about all the bad things you did. You kicked the cat, you weren't nice to your mother-in-law and all that stuff. And then you say, now, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? Yes, I believe that. Okay, now, I want you to ask him to come into your heart. And the boy gets up and he says, now, son, I want to tell you, you're a son of God. You're born again of the Spirit. Now you're going to go to heaven when you die. Rubbish. And I'm telling you that honestly. I did that. I mean, I'm not just throwing off at something. Hey, I was one of those pastors that taught that. You see, we've got to come back to reality. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm showing you the scriptures so that you can jot them down or do what you like or look them up later. I want to show you this. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And it says in verse 11 that Jesus Christ came unto his own people, which was Israel, but they would not receive him. He was the Messiah of the Old Testament, but they would not receive him. But, verse 12, as many as did receive him, as many as received Jesus Christ. What does it mean to receive Jesus Christ? Oh, well, that means to say, Lord, I want you to come into my life. Oh, no, it doesn't. To receive Jesus Christ means that you will receive him as your true identity. It means that you will receive him to be the Lord over all of your life. That's what it means to receive him. You can't receive him on any other basis, for he is Lord. He is the Christ of God. So when you receive him, you are receiving him as your identity. That your life now is his life. His life is within you to function through you to express what he is, not what you are, what you thought you were. To as many as did receive him, to them he gave the authority to become something. He didn't say you are a son. He said you've got the authority now to become a son of God. Even then, to them that believe into his name. See? But there's a proviso which most people have not even looked at. Because John goes on to say in the next verse, which were born not of blood. What's he saying? You can't be a son of God if you've been born of blood. Can you hear this? You can't be a son of God if you've been born of blood. Why? Because no son of God has ever been born of blood. That is to be born of a woman. No son of God has ever been born of a woman. Sons of God were created out of God in the beginning. They were spoken into existence as God said, let us make man. You are created in Christ Jesus. That's why you're a son of God. Not for any other reason in the world. Not because you knelt down and received Christ into your life. Not because you said the sinner's prayer. But because you were born of God. You came out of God. You are the same substance as what God is. That's what makes you a son of God. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You know what the church has tried to do for all these years? It's tried to turn the flesh into spirit. We tried to get Adam converted. Put a pinstripe suit on him, put a tie, a collar and tie, and bring him to church and tell him to raise his hands. And we say, no, we got him converted. No, you haven't. You never convert Adam. And beloved, I tell you, God's going to challenge your life tonight like you've never been challenged before. Not because Des Walter's here, because God's speaking to you. And he says to you, I'm going to give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And it says here very clearly, the child is born, but the son is given. Why? Because the son can never be born. You get this? You understand now? A virgin shall conceive, and you will birth the child. And in the birthing of the child, God will give you the Son, which will inhabit the one that you've birthed. For this will be that which has followed Jesus Christ. But it's no longer Jesus Christ, because he died on the cross. Jesus is no more. But what has God got today? Well, he's got the Floyd Christ. He's got the Don Christ. He's got the Gary Christ. He's got the Des Christ. He's got, put your name in there. Millions around the world, whereas he only had one back in 2,000 years ago, there was only one who was inhabited by the Christ. Can you hear this? Today, God is bringing up to birth a people that are to be the manifested sons of God. Many of you people have probably come to Christ as I did through what we call the religious system, through Christendom. And regardless of what name might have been on the church building, you probably have all come the same way. You know, you knelt down and you received Christ, or in the quietness of your own home you realized that you were a sinner. And you believe that Christ died for your sin, and you recognize that God loved you, and you just reached out and God touched your life, and you knew that there was a change that took place. And then you were happy, weren't you? Why? Well, you were going to heaven when you die. What did you want? There's only two things most Christians want in this world. I tell you, listen, they want their sins forgiven, and they want to go to heaven when they die. For the rest, it's not interesting. But I want to tell you, there's a whole creation out there that's waiting for you and I. And God has purposed it to be that way. And that the whole of creation that is groaning at this present moment is waiting for you to recognize that when God touched your life back there then, he was laying hold upon you to become the people of the sign, a virgin shall conceive. Let's go back now. Let's go back. Isaiah chapter 9. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. This is the sign. A virgin shall conceive. You are the virgin. So you better listen now. This is what God's saying to you. The government of this one that you are to bring to birth, the government of your life will be upon his shoulder. Hey, that's what you've needed all along, is it not? That's what I needed. Do you realize that your emotions have caused so much of your sickness? Do you realize that your mind has caused so much of your sickness and will even put you in the grave? For the carnal mind is death. And we need somebody that could come into our lives and could put all the animals back in the cage so that the lion could lay down with the lamb, so that my life could be brought back into divine order. Instead of having that short fuse, you know, people say to me, "Brother, pray for me." Why? Well, because I get angry very easily. You get angry. Why, you're a Christian? Oh, yes, yes, I'm a Christian, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've known Christ for 25 years. Glory to God. You still got anger going? Yeah. Yeah, I still get angry. What's happened? Where's the Emmanuel? Where's the God with us? How come that when the people outside there look into the church many times and they say, "What do you guys got in there? I mean, you get sick, we get sick out there. You get cancer, we get cancer. I mean, you've got divorce among Christian people, we've got divorce. Hey, what do you got that we haven't got?" And many times we'd have to say, "Not very much. We've got a hope and we've got some things that we believe in our head, but we haven't got very much more than you've got." Beloved, this is the new day. This is a new day. God's doing a new thing. Listen, God said you're going to be the people of the sign. A virgin shall conceive. You are going to conceive. You are going to conceive. Can you hear this? And you're going to bring forth this son. And it says here, the government of your life will be upon his shoulder. You see, what happened was that we gave our hearts to Jesus. I did. And then I said, "Thank you, Lord." The Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Des, now I want you to go out there and be good. You know, I want you to do some good stuff out there, you know. And try not to do too much bad stuff, but just do some good stuff." And I did, and I went out there and I thought, "Lord, I want to serve you." So I became a pastor, all of those things, because I thought that's what God wanted. Are you hearing this? Because God's saying to you, "I want you to bring forth a son. But I want to, this one that you're going to birth is going to take over the government of your life." Yes, sir. Not what you do on Sunday morning, but what you do on Monday and the Tuesdays and the Wednesdays and the Thursdays and the Fridays and the Saturday and the Sunday. This one's going to take over the government of your life, and your life is going to be different. And nobody out there will be able to copy you unless they find the same answer that you have now found. That a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God. Whoa. The Mighty God. You mean that God can do anything? Yes, he can do anything. The God that made the heavens and the earth. The Christ that stood up and spoke to the storm and said, "Stop." And the wind stopped and the waves stopped. The one that could talk to a tree and the tree was dead next day. This one that could feed 5,000 people with 5 little sandwiches and 2 little fish. And he could feed 5,000 people. The Mighty God. This is who I'm talking about. He can make the blind to see. He can make the lame to walk. He can make the deaf to hear. He can do anything. The Mighty God. And you are going to birth him. You're going to birth him. You saw, I thought he was already in me. Yes, he is. Intellectually. Because you believe Christ is in you, don't you? Yeah, so I hear you nodding. Christ is in you. Because Paul said Christ in you is the hope of glory. Yes, Christ is in me. Because a lot of people still believe Christ is up in the sky. I want to tell you, there's no Christ up in the sky. But Christ is in you. That's the only Christ. You see, and when Jesus left the earth, when Christ left the earth, he just disappeared out of their midst. And they couldn't see him after that. So that's why, you see, the church has to do what they do. Like at Christmas time. You know, you bring Father Christmas out of the cupboard, and you put all the tinsel up, and you bring out all your Christmas carols, and you put on your little pageant with the donkey and then Mary and all this. You know, and you have a big celebration, and you get all happy. We have a wonderful time. And then after Christmas, we have to put it all away and put Father Christmas back in the cupboard. I see? And then we wait for a little while, then we let him grow up, and then at Easter time, we put Jesus on the cross. See, we put him on the cross, and we nail him there, and we all cry a little bit, And then on the Sunday morning, after we've let the rabbit out too, and we've got all these eggs and stuff, they're having a whale of a time. But then, you see, after the resurrection, we rejoice in his presence that the Lord is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. But see, after Easter, we don't know what to do with him because we've lost him. We don't know where he's gone. So what do? We wait till Christmas. Then we bring out Father Christmas again. We put the tinsel up. I got to make you laugh, otherwise you'd cry. Beloved, this is the kind of reality that we have played with over the years. But I want to tell you today, God's giving you the sign. He says you're going to be the sign people, the people of the sign. A virgin shall conceive. You're going to actually birth this one, that Christ might be birthed in you. It says here, he is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. The everlasting Father. You are birthing the everlasting Father? Why, what's a father? He's the one that brings forth the children. It's not the sons that bring forth children. It's the fathers. And you are birthing the everlasting Father, out of whom all of creation has come. And it says here, also he is the Prince of Peace. You will be a people of peace. And there will nothing that can happen in your life that can upset that peace. For this is a peace that passeth understanding. And you are to birth this one. You are to birth this one. This is the sign to our generation. This is the sign to this generation in which we live. And if you do not birth this one, you will not be the people of the sign, and God will have to go raise up some more people who will become the people of the sign, who will birth the Christ. They will birth the Christ. For unto you a child is born, but a son is given. I want you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. But in the year 2002, God sent an angel from Australia to a city called whatever. High Point, is it? Is it High Point, or what do you call it here? High Point? God sent an angel. I don't have any wings, because an angel is simply a messenger. To High Point. To a virgin. Are you a virgin tonight? Because if you are, you qualify. You qualify to become one of the first fruits company of people. If you're not a virgin, you don't qualify. We're not speaking physically, we're speaking spiritually. But if you're a virgin tonight, you qualify. Because you have not yet birthed what God has required of you. He was not interested in you just simply getting married and having children. I'm not saying he wasn't interested in that. But that was not his purpose that was in his heart. God's purpose was that Adam should be fruitful and multiply. But to do that, you really got to be married. Well, you see, here's our next problem. Because until you're married, you can't really bring forth children. I know they do it today. But I mean, in the real world, you've got to be married in order to produce children. Why? Because you see, our children are produced by an egg and a sperm. All of our reproduction has been done through an egg and a sperm. But I want to tell you, the reproduction God is asking you to bring forth tonight has nothing to do with an egg and a sperm. For you are male and female. You are male and female. God said to Abram, look up there, see the stars? So shall thy seed be. How crazy can you be? I mean, God, did you know that Abraham was 90 years old at that time? And Sarah was 80-something? And when that child was actually born, Sarah was 90 years old. And God said, you're going to have a child. Not the child that you had with Hagar. He did that first, see? He thought that's what God meant. Just go find yourself somebody that you can conceive with because he used an egg and a sperm. God said, I'm not interested in using an egg and a sperm. You were begotten of God of his own will. There was no egg and sperm involved in your creation. You came out of God, and you are male and female. So what does it mean? It means that God has already planted the seed in you. He's already planted the seed. So Abraham said to his wife Sarah, after the angels had been, you know, we're going to have this child. And Sarah, she laughed. I don't think it was the laugh of doubt. I think it was the laugh of faith. And I have laughed with Sarah many times. The laugh of faith. When God has asked me to do what to me in the natural seemed to be impossible. Sarah, 90 years old. Abraham, 100. And God says, you're going to have a child. How in the world? I mean, you can just imagine, can't you? Sarah leaning over the fence in a neighbor's place there saying, excuse me, but hey, I'm pregnant. What do you think? And the neighbor says, don't you tell anybody else, I'll probably lock you up. 90 years old and you're going to bring forth. Listen, beloved, I don't care how old you are here tonight. I don't care who you are. You can conceive and bring forth a child. You can, because God said you're going to do it. This is the people of the sign. You will conceive. God has already put the seed in you. Your seed is in you. What is the seed? The seed is Christ. That's why you had to know that he was in you. And you are male and female. You don't need anything else. There's no egg and sperm involved in this birth. There is no egg and sperm. And there was no egg and sperm involved in Abraham and Sarah's bringing forth a son. The birth of Isaac was a very special birth. That birth was just the same as the birth of Jesus. It had nothing to do with an egg and a sperm. Nothing at all to do with an egg and a sperm. Because, you see, God is bringing forth something for himself. That was a special birth. And you're going to conceive and bring forth a child. Well, let's see how it works. To a virgin, verse 27, espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was? Well, put your own name in there because you're the virgin. Come on, put your own name in there, see? And the virgin's name was? Nettie. See, you put your own name in there because you're the virgin. We're not just talking about, hey, this is not a history book. This is not God just recording something that happened 2,000 years ago, and so I just wanted you to know I could do this kind of thing back there then, but you know I'm not doing anything like that anymore. No, this is God speaking to you tonight. He's saying, I've sent a messenger to you, I've sent this messenger to you, and to tell you that you are going to conceive and you're going to bring forth a child. And the virgin's name, and you put your name in there because you're the one that's going to do it. Beloved, this is the reality of this hour. The reality of this hour is not a people that say, yes, I believe that Christ died for me. I believe that Christ dwells in me. I believe that I'm born again. I'm baptized in the Spirit. I've been baptized. I've been pasteurized. You might have been whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter because you're the people of the sign. The people of the sign. And you will conceive. And you will bring forth a son. And listen to what it says here. Hail, thou art highly favored. I want to tell you tonight, none of you are here by chance this evening. You're here by a divine appointment. God needed you here tonight to hear this word. Not because Deswald is here, but because God wanted to speak to you. And he just said to me, Deswald, I want you to go over there. And I want you to be in High Point this night, see? Because I want you to say some things. And I'm just saying what I'm hearing the Father say. You're hearing the voice of the Father tonight speaking to you. He said, this virgin will conceive. And it says, Hail, thou art highly favored. I want to tell you, you are highly favored of the Lord, or you would not be here. You would not be here otherwise. You are much graced Listen, out of the millions in the world, even probably the thousands at least in High Point, how come you're here tonight? How come that out of, 260 million in America, you're here to hear this message tonight? How come? Because you're much graced. Because God has chosen you before the foundation of the world. Before you knew to do good or evil. Before you were even born on this earth, God knew you. And you are here tonight because God has put his grace upon you. And he knows that he can do through you what he has always planned to do. You're highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed art thou. Because we're all women in that sense, because we're living souls. The soul is the female part of man. And see, God never created a woman. You know that? He never created a man. He created a man that was male and female. And God never called Eve, Eve. It was Adam that called her Eve. But God called them Adam. Because they were one. And your spirit and your soul are one. And tonight, in order to bring forth, you need to understand something. You see, we've always said that we are really three parts. We have a body, we have a soul, and we are a spirit. All right? But see, that means that we've got three parts to our being. And God doesn't deal in three parts. God only deals in that unity which is one. And what did Jesus say? He said, I and my Father are one. He didn't say, I, that is my body, my soul, and my spirit, and God are one. He just said, I. He knew that he was a unity. Beloved, I don't know whether you know it tonight, but your body is part of redemption. Redemption includes your body. Can you hear this? Salvation includes your body. It includes your body. The church says you got to die first, then you wait till the sweet by and by, and there will be a resurrection, and then you get your new body. You've already got it. You've already got your new body if you only understood. See? Your body is not evil. Your body is not wicked. It's the guy running the show that's got the problem. And that's true, isn't it? Your body's not evil. It's like somebody saying, you know, the thief says to the judge, the devil made me do it. And Mary was troubled at this angel that came and wondering what this was all about. Verse 30. The angel said to Mary, fear not, for you have found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. You will conceive, not you might conceive, not maybe, but you will conceive and bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. Why? Well, what does Jesus mean? It means he'll save you. That's what it means. Oh, you mean he'll save me from my sin? Oh, yes, he'll do that, all right, no problem. He'll save you. He'll save you from cancer. He'll save you from depression. He'll save you from car accidents. He'll save you from an airplane accident. He'll save you from heart attacks. He'll save you from all of the corruption that's in the world. Can you hear this? He'll save you. You'll call his name Jesus because he will save you. Why have we got all these problems? Because, you see, we've not understood the will and purpose of God. We've not understood the people of the sign that we are to birth this one. And as we birth him, he becomes the sign to this generation. Not just you and I. But see, they can reproduce the sign now. You know, when Moses went over to Pharaoh, God had showed him a couple of tricks. The first one was he could throw his rod down on the floor and it became a snake. What do you think the Egyptians did? They threw their rods down and they became snakes. See, they can copy a lot of stuff that we can do. It's not very hard for them to copy what most Christians can do. But I want to tell you, the people of the sign will never have anybody copying them from out there. Because they won't be able to. Unless they are the people of the sign. So what does it say? It says, he shall be great. This is the one that you're birthing. Can you hear this? He will be great. For the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He can do anything. Oh, we have a little problem, you know, and we get all head up and worried about it, and we get ourselves into a stew and all of that. He will be great, and he will birth this one, and this one will begin to grow within you in all of his ability, in all of his glory, in all of his holiness, in all of his righteousness. He will grow in you until he becomes what you are. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High God. Think about it. This is the Father of Jesus. This is the Father of Jesus, the Most High God. And he will be your Father, the Most High God. There is nobody that can challenge him. But God does not have any rival. God doesn't have an enemy. Who can be an enemy of God? You'd have to be God. Well, I know the religious world tells us there is another God out there. Well, actually, there's millions of them out there. Because every one of those people out there think they're gods. Not you people in here, because you're better. But, you know, the people out in the world. Why? Because Eve came into Adam and said, listen, eat this fruit because, you know, we'll be as gods if we eat this fruit. And we are. We decide our own destiny. We've worked out our own salvation. We've learned a little formula. We can get saved any time we want to. You want to get saved tonight? Come here. You do this and this and this. Now you're born again. See, we've become our own gods. But I'm talking about reality tonight. You're the people of the sign. You're going to birth this one. This one is the, his father shall be the Most High God. And the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob. Why the house of Jacob? Well, you know who Jacob was? He was a shyster. He was a cheat. I mean, he should have been in jail. He should have been in jail. He cheated his brother out of the birthright. He even deceived his dear old father. And played a role like he was his brother to get the patriarchal blessing. That guy should have been in jail. And the Bible says that the one that you're birthing in you is going to rule over the house of Jacob because you're no different. You're no different. See? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he will rule over the house of Jacob. Beloved, see, this is the difference. This is the people of the sign. We will no longer be the house of Jacob, for as we birth this one, the house of Jacob will become the house of Israel, a prince with God. Hear that? And of his kingdom there shall be no end, for he will continue to expand his authority. First of all, the authority of this one that you're birthing, because he is the king, will be birthed in you, and he will subdue all things here in this world unto himself. We are the heavens and the earth, and God will bring all of this under his control. And there will be nothing outside. There will be nothing that can cause us problems, for he will be the Lord of everything, and he shall be great. And Mary said to the angel, listen, I think this is wonderful. I've never heard a message like this in my life, like this. I mean, it's almost too wonderful to even believe. But see, there's one little problem with this. The whole thing, the fact is, I'm not married. And the angel said, throw your hat in the air, Mary. Because you see, that makes you qualify. You've got to be a virgin. You've got to be a virgin. That person that you formed in your womb, that became the person that you are, or that you thought you were, now became the person that you are, and you've lived that life of that person. Either a weak person, or maybe a person that's insecure, a person that feels unloved, a person that feels that, you know, they can't do very much. Yeah, all of these things. But it says here, I don't know a man. The angel said, no problem. Why? I'll tell you. Listen to this now, because this is how you bring it about. God's telling you how to become the people of the sign. The seed's already been planted in you. For behold, the sower hath gone forth into all the earth, and hath sown the seed. The seed is in you. The seed is Christ. Well, if the seed is Christ, what do you think is going to come from him? Christ. Nothing else. This is no fake idea. This is no false sense of identity anymore. But this is the reality of who you are. Beloved, you already birthed who you thought you were. And you didn't have any problem doing that. You did it without even thinking about it. You produced that person. You raised that person. You birthed that person. You brought him to life. You breathed into his nostrils the breath of your life. You gave that one life. But it's a sense of false identity. Because God doesn't know you. And you can do whatever you like. You can do miracles like some of the people said to Jesus in his day. Lord, we've cast out demons. We've done this and done that. We've done many mighty things in your name. And he turned to them and said, I don't know you. He didn't say you were wicked. He didn't say you were bad. He said, I don't know you. You did not come out of me. You have produced your own identity. It's got nothing to do with me. So tonight, the angel is saying to her, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. You say, but wait a minute, preacher. You see, I'm already filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, you are. That's wonderful. That means the Holy Ghost came upon you. Yeah. And what happened when the Holy Ghost came upon you? Well, it was so wonderful. I mean, it's hard to describe. But you know, I just got goosebumps all over my body. And as I just stood there that night, I got goosebumps on my goosebumps. I mean, it was just such an exciting occasion. It was so wonderful, and I spoke in tongues because the power of the Spirit of God came upon me. It was like a heavy cloud that just hung on. It was the most wonderful night of the year. I ask you tonight, what's happened? Where's your goosebumps tonight? Huh? Where's your goosebumps? Where's the excitement you had that night when you were baptized in the Spirit? Huh? It's gone. Oh, my God. Why? Well, because you got what you wanted, didn't you? What did you want? You wanted to be baptized in the Spirit so you could speak in tongues, didn't you? And you got it. And when you got it, you said, thank you very much, God. And you went home. Because you got what you wanted. It's like Christ. You know, they come to Christ. What do you want? Well, Lord, there's just two things that I don't want to bother you too much, but there's just two little things. I just want to get my sins forgiven. Can you handle that? Oh, yeah, I think I can handle that for you. And I want to go to heaven when I die. That's it. Holy Spirit, fall upon me. Fall afresh on me. Oh, God, I need the Spirit of God. But he's already fallen on you. But the angel said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. I want to tell you that the Holy Ghost is going to come upon a people. He's going to come upon a people who are the people of the sign. And he is not going to leave you. There's going to be an anointing in your life that will never leave you. I want to tell you something. I travel in Asia in ministry among the Hindus and the Muslims and whatever else is there, the Buddhists and everything. And I have to handle many very strange and difficult situations. I mean, if I preach in a church with 200 people, I'll end up with 200 people to be prayed for. Not because they're invited to come to be prayed for, they just will come. And I have been praying for a group of people like that, and the pastor has said to me, brother, they're going home and bringing the rest of their family in to get prayed for, and the crowd's getting bigger and bigger, and I'm trying to pray for them all. And then they go and get some of their neighbors that they know are sick and bring them in. Why? Because they need something. They need something. You see? Well, listen. Tonight the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The anointing of God will be upon you. Are you ready to receive it? But this time, you're not going to ask God just to speak in tongues. You're going to say, Father, I want this anointing to remain upon me to bring forth a conception. Because it will be the anointing that will bring forth the conception. And I want Christ to be formed in me. I want to conceive this Christ of God, this mighty God. this ruler over the house of Jacob, this one that will be my Savior, who will save me. He will save me from death itself. Because I tell you, when this anointing comes upon you, you do not have to die. I didn't say you wouldn't die, I said you don't have to die. You can if you want to. You can if you want to. But the anointing of the Holy Ghost will come upon you. That anointing is never going to leave you. Turn with me just quickly to the first epistle of John, chapter 2. First epistle of John, chapter 2. And verse 20. But you have an anointing, or an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know everything. All the knowledge of God will be in that anointing that touches you tonight, that will never leave you. All the knowledge of God. But now look at verse 27. But the anointing which you received of him abides in you. He will not come and go. But see, under the old regime, the anointing came and went. Sunday morning, and we raise our hands and we're worshiping the Lord, and we say, oh, the anointing is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But when you go home, you know, and the milk's boiled over and the kids are mucking up and, you know, everything's gone wrong, the anointing seems to disappear. But listen, it says here the anointing abides. The true anointing of God is going to abide upon you. It's going to abide upon you. It will never leave you, that anointing, until it has finished the work. For the anointing now has a job to do. This anointing, beloved, is not for you just to get some gift from God. This is not just so that you can speak in tongues. This anointing is to birth that which will set all of creation free. Can you hear that? Is this what you want? You believe in the restitution of all things? You believe in the reconciliation of all? Then, beloved, you better believe in this anointing, because it will not happen without this anointing. This anointing will come upon you, and you will conceive, and you will bring forth this one whose name will be Emmanuel, God with us. So Mary said, I'm not married. The angel said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And he said also, the power of the Most High. Here we are. The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. The Most High God. Did you know that you're all gods? Psalm 82 verse 6 says, I said, you're all gods, and you're all the children of the living God. You're all gods. Why? Because you came out of God. See, the law of biogenetics says whatever the parents are, that's what the offspring will be. Well, if you came out of God, what must you be? You must be gods. We're all gods. Not to replace God. We don't take the place of God so we don't need God. No, because he's the Most High God. But there's all these other gods down underneath him. And the shadow of that Most High God will remain over you. Listen, beloved, do you believe you could possibly be sick if the shadow of the Most High God was over you? I don't think so. Could anything in the world touch you? I don't think so. Can anybody walk in and rob your house? I don't think so. Can anybody steal your car? I don't think so. This is reality. This is reality. The shadow of the Most High God, that is the very substance of what he is now coming to you. But if he dropped it all on you at once, it would probably destroy us. So it comes as a shadow first, but the reality of it is there. It says, the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called a Son of God. Think about it. That mankind, born of a woman, should have the ability to be able to birth the Son of the living God, so that the earth could be filled with his glory. So that today the world could see the Christ of God, who disappeared 2,000 years ago, and most people, even in the church, have never seen him. They don't know where he is. But I want to tell you, you're going to birth this one, and he will be visible to that world out there. 3 years ago, I was in India, and they were holding a crusade in a Hindu village. And they asked me if I would preach, and I said, now listen, I didn't come to India to evangelize the country. That's your job. I came here to help you. But anyway, the Lord said, you go along with this because I'm in it. So it was to teach me something as well. So I went along. It was 3 nights. Not in a building like this. This is out in an open field. And they just built this little platform, and they had some lights, and they had this great big amplifier. And it's outside the village, outside the walls of this Hindu village. No church in there, no preachers in there, no Christians in there. And so they advertised this meeting, and I'm looking, there's a crowd of people out there sitting on the grass in the dark. So I ministered that night, ministered the word, and I said, I'm not making any appeals. I said, you can do that if you want it. When I'm finished. So when I finished, the pastor got up and he made an appeal, probably for salvation, I don't know. Anyway, some people came out and they counseled with them. Then I stepped down off the platform and I walked out on the grass. I had the lights in my face, so I couldn't see clearly who was out there. I just knew there was a lot of people there. So I walked out onto the grass, and I no sooner walked out on the grass out of the light than a crowd of Hindu people got up from where they were sitting and ran over and knelt down in front of me. And the nearest person took my hand and put it on their head. Pray for us. Why do you think they did that? Do you think Des Walter's name had gone ahead of me and they, you know, they told everybody Des Walter's a great preacher and, you know, you really ought to get him to pray for you? No. They didn't know me. It was the Christ in me, beloved. It was the Christ that's being birthed in me. That's who they saw, and that's what drew them unto me. But it was the Christ that was drawing them unto himself. Can you hear this? I've had so many people in those countries that have come to me because, not because I'm a good preacher, not because I'm, you know, some great person, but because I birthed the Christ. And you know what Jesus said? If I be lifted up, if I'm exalted in your life, if you will birth me and allow me to grow up into you, I will draw all men unto me. You won't have to go out there and knock on doors. You won't have to go out there and advertise on television or something. You won't need to put a little cross on your lapel to let people know you're a Christian. You won't need to put a bumper sticker on your car to let people know that you love God. Everybody will know. For you see, you are birthing the Christ. This is Emmanuel. God will never leave you. He will never leave you. He will live your life every day. Or rather, he will live his life through you. For that's what it is. Christ living his life through this body to express what he is. Instead of Des Walter expressing what he is, which didn't impress anybody. But now the Christ is being raised up in me. Can you hear this? The Holy Ghost will come upon you. The Most High God, the shadow of that Most High God will come upon you. It will never leave you, beloved, until God has accomplished in you what he wants. That is the birth of his Son.